Tanya and Steve, number one in Newcastle with McDonald Jones, the Hunter's leading home builder.
She's at the Moth Club. He likes candles in the bathtub. She loves a ricotta solo. He lives a carabolo. We start to pull a dealer. The bloke and the Sheila. Their boss is always in despair because their meetings happen on air.
And Steve.
Live from Honeysuckle and across Newcastle and the Hunter. Celebrating 10 years.
Good morning. How are we?
Hello, Tanya. Good morning.
Hello, Risey. No Steve today. Some family stuff going on there.
Yep, and he wanted an extra day off. He was been banging on about the 4 days, so still have five now.
I remember a time, if you took a day off either side of a long weekend, you were in big trouble, baby Kate.
Sus.
Very sus. I reckon he's swanning his way to Bali. Oh, no, that's where he got
He doesn't want to go to Bali anymore.
Swanning his way to...
He loves Coffs Harbour. You see him on the road, the M1 this morning?
Absolutely.
Let him know we're watching him.
Yeah.
We're on to him.
But that's... When I was starting work, if you did that, you had to actually go and get a doctor's certificate.
Really?
Yeah, because the idea of having a day either side of a long weekend.
Yep.
No.
Don't you reckon it's changed as well now when you call in sick? Like, so when I started out, I used to be like, oh, okay, I've got to call the boss, call the team.
100%.
Now you send a text message or an email or whatever. Like, but this is for anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, can't make it in today.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even have to bung on a sore throat.
No, you don't, Rise.
Or the worst is, like, when you actually do have a sore throat or, like, you are sick, you try to sound even sicker and there's, like,
well,
you know what I mean?
The weird thing about that period of time in history where we were required to actually pick up a phone and ring our bosses is when you were genuinely sick, the last thing you wanted to do was talk to someone like that.
Exactly.
You know?
I think I even got my...
Your mummy?
I think I got my mum to call in sick when I first got my job at, like, Coles. Like, Mum, can you call?
Yeah, well, that's what mums are for.
Exactly.
But these days, honestly, I don't know what goes on in other workplaces, whether it is more formal still.
Maybe it is.
I don't know.
Here it's just like...
A text.
Hey, can't make it in today. It's not, and I'm not talking about sick, I'm talking about, like, everybody in this building.
Yeah. Anybody and everybody.
Yes.
Times have changed.
Times have definitely changed.
Well, there's so much exciting stuff happening today.
Yep.
Albo's in town.
Don't tell me are you speaking to Albo this morning, Prime Minister Albo? Because I remember the last conversation you had with him about a month ago. It went about 15 minutes.
He's on notice, all right?
Okay, well, good.
Albo, you're on notice. You've got to stay on topic.
Stay on track and answer your questions.
Yeah,
okay,
all right?
Good.
Stop politicising every question we ask.
Exactly.
I don't know how we turned How's the Wedding Ring Going into...
Like a five-minute talk about how he's supporting...
apprentices.
Apprentice business. Oh, exactly.
Yeah, he's a master at it.
He is.
So the challenge today is to try and keep Albo on track.
Excellent. So you'll speak to him about 8 o'clock this morning. We've also got...
What?
Intern Kelly coming back today. She's in the building right now. She's in the building right now. Well, we're going to chat to her in a couple of minutes.
That will be fun. And we've got so much Easter stuff for you this morning. It will be just to get your appetite whetted for the weekend.
Absolutely. And you're pumped for the weekend because you've got the kids coming, Lorcan and his beautiful girlfriend coming down tomorrow.
Yes, and I've got to stop looking at her online, by the way.
Who?
His girlfriend keeps telling me how attractive she is. It's like, Rise, you're a married father of four.
She is, though.
You're allowed to look, aren't you,
you're
Rise?
You're allowed to look, and Lorcan's done very well for himself.
Yeah, you're allowed to appreciate.
And as has Lily, because Lorcan is a good-looking man as well.
Look how he's covering all bases
now. Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's Tanya and Steve, Newcastle's 102.9. Good morning, everyone. We'll talk to Kelly next.
Smart water choices from Hunter Water.
On the line.
Well, I'll tell you what you'll find today online on our Instagram page is you will find some locations where our resident intern bunny will be hopping along to give out free Easter eggs. And who is our intern bunny, Rise?
I'll tell you who our intern bunny is. It's intern Kelly. Good morning,
Hello,
intern Kelly.
Kel.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me back.
Back by popular demand,
Absolutely.
I would say, Tanya.
Kel, honestly, you should be our CEO. You're more popular than any member of staff.
Yes.
Isn't she, though?
Oh, so many people, the public, people at
they
work,
love you.
Just said how much they enjoyed your week with us. Would it have been a month ago or 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, maybe 6 weeks. That was a while.
Wow.
Well, you're back, and you are hopping out today to a couple of locations around the Hunter with heaps and heaps of Easter eggs.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait.
Yay. What sort of Easter eggs are they, Ryze?
Cadbury Easter eggs. Yeah, EP Jerry.
Lots.
You come
and
in, EP Jerry,
them.
Because yeah, there's so many. And actually, Eddie, Street Teamer as well. You've been out there. I think she had to make multiple trips to the car.
Oh, so really?
What kind of Easter eggs are they, Eddie?
We've got everything, really. We've got big Cadbury eggs. We've got little ones filled with goodness. hopefully some caramel, I'm hoping.
Yeah, she doesn't mean we're sending Kelly out with hard-boiled eggs.
There'll be
none of that goodness, Eddie.
But I did tell Molly, who is our promotions, head of our promotions for the eggs, to just blow the budget. So there is a lot of eggs.
Oh, that's so fun,
that's
Kel.
Awesome. Thank you.
Gonna,
can't wait.
Obviously, we're going to put her in bunny ears. Got to put her in bunny ears.
So well, it wouldn't be a trip on this show without a costume, I don't reckon, would it?
How many costumes did you wear last time, Kelly?
Definitely there was a billboard and a Cupid, so we'll add bunny to the list for sure.
You can rest assured most holidays now coming up, you'll be dressed up.
And what do you got planned, Intern Kelly, for the long weekend with your family?
I will have barbecue on Easter Sunday, and then it's actually my niece's birthday on Tuesday and my sister-in-law's birthday on Monday, so it's like kind of a birthday Easter mash weekend.
Do you guys have any Easter traditions within the fam?
Not really. Like, there's a bit of a hunt on Easter, and then my other half of the family is Macedonian, so they celebrate Orthodox Easter, and then they do like cracking of the eggs.
Yes.
So yeah, they boil and decorate eggs, and then that's like a cracking
competition.
That's
so fun.
So that's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, that's
a
tradition.
That'll be in a few weeks.
Yeah. What about meat on Good Friday?
You know what? No, I do. That's probably the only one time of year that I really kind of, I think just growing up, like I went to a Catholic primary school.
That's what I mean. Yep. And, it's a lag, isn't it? It's a lot of hangover.
Yep. So, yeah, just eat seafood on Good Friday usually.
Yep. Even my mum's looking after the kids on Good Friday and she said, don't order pizza for us because she's like, I'm going to make vegetarian. She's not going to eat fish or meat.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like
your parents aren't.
No, they're not religious, not in the slightest.
Yeah.
Me neither, just something you grew up with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What about you, Tanya? Do you do fish or what do you do?
I grew up with not eating meat on Good Friday.
Yep.
I'm a bit of a lapsed Catholic, so I don't know. I'm in charge of the menu, so I haven't actually decided, to be quite honest. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I kind of think, I'm sure God didn't go, hey, we've got to give the seafood industry a bit of a boot along.
Why not?
So let's declare Fridays only seafood. Because it used to be every Friday, you know.
Did it?
It used to be every Friday for my grandparents growing up.
And then it just turned
and then
to
it
Good
was
Friday.
Like Easter. Yeah. And now it's a bit of like, if you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think that's the deciding factor of hell or heaven. But
I hope not. Fingers crossed because I'm going to light years on Friday.
Yeah, you'll be eating meat.
But I'll bless it and call it fish.
Well, it makes it identify as anything it wants these days. So,
amen, Danielle.
Intern Kelly, off you hop, and we'll be chatting to you from your very first location soon.
Okay, see
all right.
Good to have you back, Intern Kelly. This is Tanya and Steve. Newcastle Triple M got a first inch to play next.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Tanya and Steve's first inch.
Okay, you know how this works by now. Ryze's been tasked with getting a song, chopping off the tit bit of it, and then we play it to you. When you nail it, you'll win today's great prizes. And the first one on offer is a double pass to the Red Hot Summer Tour. Can't get enough of this. It's coming up with Birds of Tokyo, The Living End. It's at Roche Estate on, what is it, April 6th?
April 6th, yeah.
And, of course, it's Barnsley. He's back.
Yeah, you can grab your tickets from Ticketmaster or call us now, 133353. Plus, we've got a double pass as well to Spiegelten's Limbo, The Return, a mesmerising reimagining of the international award-winning hit circus extravaganza. And I'm calling today's tenure one of the easiest ones we've done.
Okay. Well, let's see if Scott at Ellalong agrees with you. G'day, Scott.
Hello, how are you going?
Very well. You know how First Inch works. You're going to hear the very start of the song. If you nail it, you've got those prizes. You ready?
Perfect. Yeah, thank you.
Here we go, Scott.
Oh, can I hear that one again?
Yep.
Oh, far out.
It's kind of hard to... One more time,
Is it
Scott.
Newton? Yeah?
What do you think?
Is it New Sensation by NXS?
Oh, no, I can feel that.
Yeah. Sorry, Scott. Thank you for trying.
We'll go to Shane, I think.
Yeah. Hello, Shane.
Hey, I'm Tanya.
Very well, Shane. Here it is. Again?
Yeah, have it again.
Any ideas?
Nah, not sure. Oh, sorry, Tanya.
Okay.
Maybe I thought it was easy because I I made it. And it's also just, there's not a lot there, obviously.
No, Jake's at Gateshead. What do you think, Jake? Here it is.
Oh, I was thinking NXS as well.
Nah.
New Sensation?
Nah, sorry, Jake. No ideas?
Yeah, I've got no idea.
Okay.
I'm not
advanced for
that.
Yep.
No worries, Jake. Have a great Easter break. We're going to go to Angela here, T.
Hello, Angela.
Hiya, how are you going?
Very well. Here's our first inch, Ange.
Yeah, no. I don't know either.
Oh, okay.
No worries, Ange.
It varies. That time, I reckon it really did sound like the song.
Yep.
So you're not playing any more or less, are you?
No.
No.
Do you want to play like a split
we'll
second?
We'll
see
how Amy goes from Head and Greeter. G'day, Amy.
Morning. How are you going?
Very well. Here it is.
Is it London Calling?
Yes, it
Clash.
Is. We'll give it to you by the Clash, 100%.
Amy, you know your music. You've nailed this a few times, haven't you?
I'm actually a little bit of a cheater. It's my husband. He's the music smart one. I just do the ringing up.
The brain's trust in the next seat.
So won't he do the ringing? Does he make you do it, does he?
Yeah, he does, yep.
He's obviously heard that we bite rise.
Absolutely. Scared.
Congratulations. The double pass to the Red Hot Summer Tour coming up at Roche Estate will be amazing.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And especially for a muso like your husband.
Yeah.
He is definitely.
And you're going to love as well the Spiegel Tents Limbo the Return. Have you been to a Spiegel Tent before, Amy?
No, I haven't, but that sounds amazing.
Tanya, you go most years, don't you?
Amy, I go every year. And it is incredible, is all I'll say to you. It's just
so fun, isn't it?
It's fun. It's a little bit sexy. It's just fabulous. So you'll have a great night.
I love it. Thank you so much, guys.
No worries, Amy. You and your husband enjoy this. This is London Calling by The Clash. Why did Jerry put he loves the nudity?
Because he does, Risey.
Is there nudes at Spiegelton?
Yeah.
I'm going this year. Tanya and Risey this morning. Steve off today. Hopefully going to be back on deck after the Easter break. He'll be back on deck next Tuesday for sure, Tanya.
Now, I believe you had a visit from a supernatural creature last night.
Yeah, so the Easter Bunny's coming in a couple of days in the Stewart household. And last night, the Tooth Fairy came because Stella, our eldest, 10, she lost a tooth yesterday at school.
Oh, that's lovely. Did she pull it out herself or was she eating something?
I think she was eating an apple. It was like hanging by a thread for days.
Apples were the go-to, weren't they?
Yeah, she was eating an apple, which was sent on purpose to get rid of the tooth.
Yep. So what happened?
So last night, Stella, I mentioned she's 10. She came to me. She went to bed.
Yeah.
She had a tooth next to the bed. Uh-huh. And she came up to me about 45 minutes after. I thought she was asleep. She goes, "Dad, don't forget, Tooth Fairy's supposed, coming tonight.
Absolutely.
Tooth Fairy's coming." And she's, looking at me, intently.
Make sure there's a little crack in the window there somewhere, Dad. Yeah.
Exactly. And
just
then I was
reminding you.
Yeah, I was I know. Fingers crossed they come, came to Oscar only about a week ago as well.
Was she was her eye kind of fluttering at the same time?
Her eye was fluttering at the same time, and she was giving me a bit of a side nod.
Yeah.
And I was I know the Tooth Fairy's coming. It's going to be excellent. Anyway, went to bed. Went and checked this morning. Tooth Fairy hadn't been.
What?
Hadn't been, but
Did you forget to open the window, Ryan?
I forgot to open the window.
Right.
So as I was getting ready for work this morning, the Tooth Fairy came, but I noticed the Tooth Fairy had to steal $5 out of Oscar's, my son's, wallet.
What?
So I think the Tooth Fairy was out of cash. And then I had to put the money from Oscar's wallet into Stella's bedroom, and I'm sure will come tonight and repay Oscar the $5.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
I'm sure that the Tooth Fairy doesn't want someone to have to send the boys around.
Exactly.
Recoup the losses.
But I'd like to know, Tanya, one, when do they stop losing teeth? And two, does the Tooth Fairy, is there an age that the Tooth Fairy does stop visiting, Lorcan? What happened with Lork?
Look, he stopped losing teeth, thankfully.
Good.
I forget when that happened. I think it was about 11 or 12. Don't they have a full set by then?
Well, yeah. I thought so. I'd already finished losing them as well at 10. So maybe it's a couple years away.
It's not so much when they stop losing teeth. It's when they stop losing faith.
That's right.
The question you should be asking.
So if you don't believe, you don't receive. Is that
what
you're saying?
Probably more appropriate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, but she's got you. She's got you over the rails.
She's got me big time.
Poor Oscar. So he's going to open his wallet today. Is there a little IOU from the Tooth Fairy in the wallet?
No. He shouldn't notice. Maybe I've had to pinch $5 or $10 off him in the past.
And it's not fair when you've got a stupid child that hasn't any clue what's going on around them, is it?
No, it's not. I feel sorry for him. It's Tanya and Steve. Newcastle Triple M. We're going to speak to Jim Callinan from Triple M NRL. Tanya will do that in the next 10 minutes.
That's the match winner.
Now, Tanya and Steve take you inside the Jim Callinan.
Okay, hello, Jimmy.
G'day, team. How are you?
Very well indeed. Are you excited by the Knights taking on the Warriors? They're both 1-for-1, so there's not much between them at this point.
Well, if you look at the ladder, T, it can be a little deceiving. Yeah, you're right. 11-v-13, Warriors and Knights both have a similar record. But to be fair, the Warriors could well be 3-and-zip. They've been a bit unlucky in their other matches. So that might be a little bit deceiving. I think they're playing well above their position on the ladder at the moment. And they're playing at a place they love taking on Newcastle. You know that this is the best record they have against any team. They've won 13 of their last 15 against the Knights at Mount Start Stadium. That's easily their best record at their home venue against an opponent. So history ain't on the Knights' side.
How many fans? I mean, you remember late last year when they played them, but how many fans are really for the Knights over there? Because I know the boys are doing a fan training session on Saturday for all their Auckland-based fans. Are there many?
Well, as far as I know, that was built a long time ago. You remember, you know, when the Knights first started, they went far and wide, and the great Sam Stewart led the Kiwi connection, and that sort of continued, Tony Kemp and the like. So I think way back when, that was actually set in stone that they had that really strong bond. And of course, we've seen now Leo Thompson, a Kiwi international, a part of the team. So that those links have maintained. So I believe it to still be very strong. But look, you know, they're not going to get too many people there waving the flag on Sunday for them. It's going to be pretty heavy for the Warriors. But, gee, you've got to feel for Leo Thompson.
No,
all
no.
The day, the copper one. It's the one he's going to go home for.
Yeah. Oh, we've lost you, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, there we go.
Oh, there
we're
you
still
are.
Perfect.
Yeah, I know. Poor Leo Thompson. So he's out for two, isn't he?
Just the one.
Oh, just the one.
Just the one, yeah. So I thought he was in a bit of trouble at the time in the call. I actually thought he might have been given some time in the bin. I reckon a year ago he probably does. Mm. And luckily for the Knights, he didn't, because I think if he goes and they're 13-on-12 against the Storm, maybe they don't hold on. But look, okay, they've got the win. That's a massive amount of relief. Now we need to see that build on the back of that. It wasn't their best performance, but they don't write too many descriptions about it on the ladder where you sit. So look, they've got to build on that. But this is a big, big test by every stretch of the imagination for a Warriors team who I think really could be very, you know, far higher on the ladder, as I mentioned at the top.
Okay, all right. Anything as far as behind the scenes? Brody Jones coming back, Jack Hetherington goes on the bench.
Well, I think that's a sign of what they're expecting, right? So they've lost Leo Thompson, so both Speedy brothers go into the starting lineup, and then you see Brody Jones come in, Jack Hetherington's back, Matt Croker is there. They're beefing up their bench because this isn't an enormous Warriors team when you look at starting pack, let alone the back, but also, see, their back five, honestly, are almost as big as their front row. You've got Roger Tuivasa-Sheck in fullback, and these guys out the backfield, they are monsters.
Yeah.
So they've got to try and match the Warriors. They're very, very clever. They stick to a plan. They're very good at bringing the ball back, and the Knights are going to have to try and match them there. I'll tell you what I did do. I bumped into Jaden Brayley. We're both out doing the groceries, would you believe? Not together. We bumped into each other, and it was just so nice to have a quick chat with him. And the relief and the happiness on his face was so easy to see just by getting through that game.
Yeah.
Remembering it had been almost a year. April last year was the last time we saw him out there. So a guy like that to get some minutes and get back out there and have the confidence that his body is holding up to the rigours of that. You can't underplay how important that is. And I think we're all pretty stoked for him, weren't they?
Yeah.
And you scenes after full time. The players got around. It was quite emotional. It was really good to see. And but also underlines how important he is to their lineup as well.
Yeah. Hey, when Matty Croker was in during the week, we were talking about how it did seem to fall apart in the second half last week. No points scored, et cetera, et cetera. But he made a good point. We're kind of going, oh, geez, they nearly got creamed. But he said in a couple of months' time, when you look back at the ladder, you don't think, oh, we nearly got creamed. You just see 2 points. Mm-hmm. And that's all we really want. It doesn't matter how you get there. Just got to get them.
Absolutely. Well said. Yeah, yeah. These are the points that you got to bank, and you don't care how you get them, as long as you do get them. To be fair, Hagues did say it in the call, there's not too many games you're going to win by scoring 14 points. So that is clearly an element of the game they want to improve. But Jack Cocker will be better for the game.
Yeah.
So that will improve. But you've got to consider this too. Like, no Dom Young, there's 25 tries. Greg Marju's out, that's 22 tries.
Mm.
That is a lot of despite from the
Jeez,
guys.
Yes.
So depressing, isn't it? I was asked on the weekend, why did Dom Young go? Was it simply we just did not have enough money, or did he want to go? Timmy, you've gone very quiet.
Yeah, give us the real
it's
reason.
The money,
you know,
right?
You
it's know. The money.
I'm very careful. I'm very careful. I'm in Sydney. I'm working here. The Roosters aren't too far away. They get very, very delicate when you talk about their salary cap sombrero.
So it's the money, yeah.
It's definitely the money.
Look, put it this way. I had a fairly decent information that they offered Dom somewhere around the mark of 550. That is a lot for a
wow.
winger's way up, and they still couldn't land their man.
Wow.
Idea of what the Roosters, the package, I'm saying.
Yeah, was it the brother as well? Is that...
They're a good sell. The Roosters are better than anyone. You get Trent Robinson is very clever.
Yeah.
Nick Politis. You know, you got Mark Burris on the board. They come.
Burris is on the board. I didn't know that.
Yeah, an amazing collection of people that put out a plan. They don't just say we want you and this is what we're going to pay. They actually lay it on the thick of how they can develop you as a player and develop you after life.
Wow.
Holistic approach, and that's why they often get the people they want and never lose the ones they don't want to lose.
Jeez.
It's
the first time I've actually watched a Roosters match and enjoyed it, only because I like Dom,
yeah.
And he's flying again.
Yeah, I was actually there. I took my daughter, who wasn't all that impressed that Dom Young was doing well for another team, but good for another time. But, yeah, look, Sunday afternoon, Easter Sunday, after you've had your chocolates and your Easter egg hunt, we can't wait to bring it to you, because I think we all saw, remember the scenes there in that semi last year. I mean, okay, the Knights got beaten, but the scenes at Mount Smart Stadium, the noise was, well, I guess you'd have to say at least on par, if not maybe be just outpointed that incredible crowds we saw at the back end of the season for the Knights. That, you know, they've got a team that's really up and about. And look, I believe they're playing well above the 11th spot they are on the ladder. This is going to be a huge game afternoon. If the Knights can get this done, this is like a 4-point game, not just 2.
Yeah, but you still think the Warriors are going to do it. Thank you, Jimmy.
Where my head is, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
all right, we'll hear you boys then. Thanks for the time.
Good on your crew. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter, everyone.
You too. There's Jimmy Callanan. And, yeah, our captain coach of our commentary team gets underway 4 o'clock Sunday here on Triple M.
What's up, Doc?
Tenure and Steve's Intern Bunny.
Our intern bunny, Tenure.
And it's Kelly, our former intern, but she's now elevated to the lofty rank of intern bunny. Hello, Kel.
Hello, Tanya, Rizzy.
Morning.
I love that I'm Intern Bunny now. It's awesome.
Well, Intern Bunny, we've dressed you up and we're sending you to 3 different locations with loads of chalky eggs today. So location number 1, where might you be as the sun comes up?
I am at Nobby's Beach. There's lots of people walking and running, and there's dogs and bikes and lots of people coming to say hello and happy Easter. It's awesome.
This is where Kel shines, doesn't she, Rise? Because
100%.
You love chatting to people.
Yep.
It's so much fun. And it's just so lovely to be able to start the Easter long weekend handing out chocolate, especially for breakfast.
We're going to put a photo up of Intern Bunny, our intern Kelly as well, because she is dressed as a bunny this morning.
You look so cute.
I sure am.
So, Kel, what kind of eggs have you got? Big ones, little ones?
Oh, my goodness. There is a whole combination. We've got some, like, little gift bags that have got bunnies and chickens and little Cadbury eggs and the hollow eggs if you want to fill them with whipped cream. And then we've also got a basket full of a mixture of eggs to bring out, I think, at the next location. So, yeah, be sure to come down and say hi and get your free chocolate for Easter.
Sounds like Kelly's had a few chalky eggs already, yeah, don't you recognise? Yeah, you're a little hyper, intern bunny.
You have to taste test them, Tanya.
Exactly, you've got to taste the goods.
I can't be giving out dodgy chocolate.
I've never done that, put whipped cream in a hollow Easter egg.
Oh, that's what my brother does. It's like his favourite thing. So normally for Easter I buy him the hollow eggs and the tin of whipped cream.
Wow, I've never heard of that. I'm going to give it a go.
Announcing that on
I think no, look, that we welcome all kind of Easter recipes. The other thing that I like doing is in, you know how you get a pin and you heat it up, you make a little hole in the top of your egg.
Yeah, okay.
And you put a little bit of whatever your favorite tipple is.
Oh.
And you
Alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm trying that.
Yeah.
I'm trying that this Easter. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, it's really yummy. Yep. Yep.
Oh, delicious.
There's so much you can do with a chalky egg.
So much.
There is.
All right, intern buddy, you can find Kel for the next wee while at Nobby's, and then she's off. She's only there for a few more minutes off to Warner's Bay.
Sounds like the fireys are just in the background there.
Yeah, that's right.
Making their way
Everything's
down.
Everything's happening at Nobby's Beach this morning.
Good on you, intern buddy. Kelly there. Going to be Warner's Bay area just before 8 o'clock this morning as well.
Amazing.
Tanya.
It's time for the 1,000 minute. Okay, we've got Emily at Rankin Park having a crack today. G'day, Emily.
Hello.
Rosie's going to run through the rules with you, Em. Make sure you know what you're up against.
Yeah, I'm sure you know, but 60 seconds on the clock, 10 questions, get them right, you'll score the grand. If you don't know the answer to one of Tanya's questions, just say pass, and hopefully there's still time on the clock to get back. And we always say no help from anyone or anything in the background, but you actually don't have time to get any help.
Yeah,
so,
true.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, Emily, first question. What is the square root of 81?
9.
Which Hollywood star is associated with the South Sydney Rabbitohs NRL team?
Russell Crowe.
Which letter is silent in the word descend?
C.
Which boy band did Robbie Williams once belong to?
Take That.
True or false, peanuts grow under the ground?
Pass.
A three-quarter turn of a circle measures how many degrees? 180, 240 or 270?
270.
Which herb is also known as cilantro?
Basil.
On which day over this long weekend will the Knights take on the Warriors?
Thunder.
Are there more or less than 40 dots on a pair of dice?
More.
Pink Ladies and Granny Smiths are what fruit?
Apple.
True or false, peanuts grow under the ground?
True.
Oh,
Emily.
We're 9 out of 10.
It was the herb.
I wouldn't have known this one either.
Really? No. You said basil. Do you want to have another crack?
Coriander.
Oh,
Emily.
Was.
Why didn't you...
Was it coriander?
Yes. You were 9 out of 10, you clever thing.
Darn it.
I'm so sorry.
So sorry, Emily.
I'm so hoping to give $1,000 for the long weekend.
Yep. It sucks because you knew it as like you had your second guess was correct.
Yeah,
Emily, we're going to give you $100 to spend at the Bogey Hole on Derby. Unwind and savour the flavours of Newcastle at the Bogey Hole on Derby, and a double pass to Spiegelten's Limbo. It's the return, a mesmerising reimagining of the international award-winning hit circus extravaganza. It's an amazing night, so you can pretty much team both of those prizes up on the same night and have an awesome time.
What a good one! Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Emily.
So close.
Oh, goodness. Cilantro. Do you know that?
No. Wouldn't have known.
Aww.
And probably would have said basil as well. So, bad luck, Emily. Back next week, same time, our $1,000 minute at 7 every single day.
But don't ring for the chocolate, okay? Because we've got to ask you a question.
Yes, we do have to ask you a question.
We want to know what your Easter tradition is.
Yep.
And we will be checking, so don't lie. All right? We're going to send Rosie around on Easter to make sure.
I'm going to go and investigate that they're telling the truth.
Yeah, we want to know, do you have an Easter tradition in your household?
Yeah.
And is it something that's been passed on from, you know, when you were a kid or even before?
Yep.
What is the Easter tradition? It has to be a good one. Because these hampers are incredible.
100%. 1-3-3-5-3 Donark Fine Chocolate, where every chocolate is an experience. You'll get an Easter hamper just for telling Tenya your Easter traditions. Mm. I think we're starting one this year.
Are you?
So we've got a whole bunch of parents around where we live have organised like a big Easter egg hunt on Sunday morning.
How fun.
There's going to be 70 kids at one of the local parks. So there's going to be, and I think they've counted for 10 eggs each. We've all chucked in money.
Oh, how much did it cost to chuck in?
Maybe $20 or something like that. So not too out of the question.
Yeah.
There's going to be 70 kids. They've accounted for 10 eggs each.
Yeah.
They're going to be hiding 700 eggs around the park.
Wow.
So that'll be kind of like fun and maybe see where it goes to from here.
Someone's making a profit.
Looking at you, Kate.
I was in Big W yesterday, and you can get 12 hunting eggs for $5.
Okay.
Just saying.
I'm just going to investigate where that money is going. Actually, sorry, they're putting on bacon and eggs for everyone.
You forgot the most important thing.
I stitched you up there.
Yeah, poor Kate. Slandered by Risey on the radio, Kate. I'd sue. Amanda's at Cardiff. G'day, Amanda.
So I'm an empty nester, and to make Easter fun, my girlfriend and I have started a tradition where on Good Friday we do the hollow Easter eggs with a bottle of Baileys.
Oh, that was what I was just talking about a minute ago.
You mentioned that.
It's so nice. How do you do yours, Amanda?
We just try and crack the top off. It gets a bit messy towards the end after a couple of Baileys, but the first ones are quite clear and easy to pour into.
How fun.
That is such a great tradition. Well, I adopt that most Saturday nights, Amanda. It's fabulous.
it's mine and Linda's Good Friday tradition.
Well, for you and Linda to share then, we've got these wonderful
Easter
hampers from Donark Fine Chocolate.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah, You've got no idea. A beautiful basket with purple bows and chalky eggs and bunnies. It's gorgeous. Enjoy.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Amanda. That's a pretty cool tradition on Friday, getting plastered.
I was expecting more pyjamas for children, but that's all right. Yeah, we're an all-age show.
Absolutely.
Danielle's at Minmai. G'day, Danielle.
Hello. How are you?
Very well.
Happy Easter.
Oh, you too. What's your Easter tradition?
Good Friday, we always do fish and hot cross buns, but on Easter Day, all my family comes over to my house and we do a really big Easter egg hunt. Mm. And it's not just for the little kids. Like, the adults do it too. And it becomes this massive, all-for-one competition. And my 25-year-old sister actually said to me today, if you don't have the big Kinder egg, I'm not coming.
Very serious in Danielle's household.
I love it. It sounds like a blood sport, the way you're describing it, Danielle.
It's a lot of fun, but it's very competitive.
The Hunger Games in Danielle's backyard. You've got an amazing Easter hamper pack, all full of Donark Fine Chocolate, where every chocolate is an experience, Danielle. Enjoy that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good on you, Danielle. That sounds so much fun.
It does. Amber Lee's in Cessnock. G'day, Amber Lee. What's your Easter tradition?
Hi, happy Easter, guys.
You too.
Me, my brother and my sister and our family, so we've all gone this. Six grandkids, we go over to my grandparents' farm and set up a big Easter egg hunt for all the kids, and just a lot of fun. And my nan and pop absolutely love watching the kids run around.
Oh, yep,
definitely.
How good is that? Where's the farm?
In Cessnock.
Oh, how fabulous. You're lucky things. I love that idea of like big families gathering together and hunting for eggs. We've got one of these Donark Fine Chocolate hampers for you too, Amber Lee. Enjoy.
That's amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll go to Karen at Whitebridge now, Tanya. Hey, Karen.
Hello, how are you?
Good, Karen. What's your Easter tradition?
Our Easter tradition is from Good Friday right through to Easter Monday. Mm-hmm. We lock the house up, not allowed to go back in. We set up our tent and all our camping gear in the backyard, including a little shower, solar shower we hang from the tree, a little camping toilet in the little tent, and we're outside barbecuing and cooking all our meals, have our Easter egg hunt. No one is allowed back in the house using any technology at all. It is absolutely fabulous.
Oh, that's so fun. Wonderful. You must have a decent-sized yard, do you?
It's not that big, but we make the most of it. And we don't like travelling at Easter because there's too much traffic. So it just suits us perfectly.
Oh, that's so fun.
What a novel way of doing things. And what do you do at night? Like, are you sitting? Are you campfiring?
We've got a campfire. We have those jumbo marshmallows. We play Uno and Monopoly. And, like, we're, camping for real.
What happens if someone wants to watch the footy, like the nights on Sunday afternoon, no, Karen? No?
We've got a little battery-powered radio.
Oh, my God.
You can listen to it, Triple M NRL, Jimmy Callinan, MG Hakes.
That's right.
Perfect.
Yeah. You really do go, like, live by the letter of the law, don't you? Because some would say, oh, we do have the Alexa or we do have a smart speaker that we can listen or play music.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Good on you. Well, we've got a Don Arc Fine Chocolate Easter hamper for you too.
Thank you so much. Happy Easter.
And happy Easter, you. Karen. That's so fun.
Oh, my God. People have got great traditions. What about you, Craig, at Stockton?
We usually have a bit of an Easter egg hunt.
Whereabouts?
And then in the backyard and through the house and then up at the grandmother's.
For lunch?
That goes for a fair bit. And then we have meat pies with tomato sauce and a few beers.
Hang on. Who started the meat pies with tomato sauce tradition at Easter?
I think my father used to do that.
Oh.
That's so good.
That is so cute. And is that Easter dinner? Is it like Sunday night?
Oh, that's everything. Breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's cute, Craig. We've got an Easter hamper for you too. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
You're
happy
welcome.
Easter, Craig. We've got to thank Don Arc Fine Chocolate, where every chocolate's an experience. They're located in Curry, also to Nam. But what, do you have an Easter tradition? I know you've got Lorcan and coming down tomorrow for the Easter break, and you can't wait.
Mine always revolves around food. So it used to be, I haven't decided yet, but it's usually seafood on Friday, baked lamb and all the trimmings on Sunday.
Beautiful.
And doing something fun in between.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and we've got the something fun, the helicopter rides on Saturday in between.
Perfect.
Yeah, so, but it was weird yesterday. I got a call from my son saying, can you make sure that you buy a Humpty Dumpty Easter egg with Smarties in it?
How come?
Because apparently his girlfriend's grandparents always give her one for Easter.
Oh.
And because she'll be with us.
She'll feel
right at home when I go, this is from your grandparents, a little Humpty Dumpty. Isn't that funny,
so
though? Because we were only talking about Humpty Dumpty Easter eggs yesterday.
We were.
And they are through the generations.
Still a thing. There you go. Thanks for all your calls. 1-333-53. You can call us anytime throughout the show at Triple M. Oh, a bit of thirsty milk in the summertime. It's 7:52. Triple M, it's Tanya and Risey this morning. Steve off today. He's going to be back on deck after the Easter break. And very soon you can win your way to Tanya and Steve's 10th year birthday bash happening at Harrigan's Cameron Park, your new local for food and fun before 8:30. Here's your chance to join us.
Tanya and Steve's. Take that. Rewind it back. Throwback Thursday.
Look, they're fast becoming history, aren't they? And I'm talking about festivals. Very sad indeed to hear the news yesterday that Splendour in the Grass has been cancelled for July this year.
I never ever thought I'd see a day where Splendour wouldn't happen.
Do you know, we did. Actually, Steve and I were talking about this just last week.
Really?
Yeah, and we both, if he was here, he would attest to this as well, saying that don't know whether it's going to go ahead. Because we've seen so many festivals being canned.
Groove in the Moo earlier this year.
Yep, tent poles, all those, you know, that. What is it down to? Well, cost of living is one thing.
Yep.
People leave things to the last minute these days. I think, especially with Splendour, we were a bit put off by Splendour in the Mud, which was 2 years ago now, if you remember.
Yeah. Also, don't think Kylie Minogue headlining Splendour was the right move, like from organisers. I think they got pretty lazy with the lineup this year. Normally, it's a little bit more edgier, you'd say.
Yeah.
Instead of commercially based.
And
like,
there was a bit of complaint about the international artists. There was one that they were bringing over. I don't want to get into the
lineup
because that must be such a tough call that people are trying to make. But yeah, it's really sad. And so we thought to kind of celebrate the festival.
Yeah.
Tell us the first festival you ever went to. What was the experience like?
We'd love to hear from you. 1-333-53. Music festivals, they were everywhere. I remember Falls Festival, V Festival.
Yeah.
My first festival was Big Day Out in the early 2000s. I reckon I went to five or six in a row, and they were always on Australia Day. Best day of the year for me. And I never thought I'd see a day when the Big Day Out wouldn't happen, but then Big Day Out.
It closed too.
It's been, you know, like many, many years since that's happened.
So let's throw it back. First festival you ever went to, what were your memories? Leanne's at Adamstown. What was yours, Leanne?
Narara.
Oh, my God. Leanne, I was just going to tell Rise, and I thought, leave it for someone to mention Narara.
What was that?
Well, I didn't go, but tell us, Leanne. It was on the Central Coast.
Yep, a lot of rock. That's where I actually met Doc Neeson back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Angels fame, yes.
That was wow.
Were you like of age, because I remember it and I remember older kids going, but I also recall that there was a lot of underage people that got in.
No, I was of age. I'm a good girl.
That's a no.
Yeah. Was that a year? Was it a yearly thing or did it happen once? What happened, Leanne?
No, I think that it happened about, from my memory, because I come from Mount Bush and it was all new to me. I think it went on for about 3 years, okay. Maybe more.
Fair enough. Yeah. Narara. There'd be a lot of people nodding their heads about Narara. Yeah.
83, 84, Outdoor Music Festival held on the Central Coast. Yeah. Apparently, everyone's just saying how iconic it was.
Really?
What a great time.
Excellent. Thanks for the memory, Leanne. Jen's at Belmont. G'day, Jen.
Hey, how you going?
Good. What was your first?
The Blues and Roots Festival up at Byron Bay at Easter.
Nice. Oh. Happens at Easter all the time.
Yeah, that's, do you mean like in Broadbeach, that one?
No, it's in Byron Bay.
Oh, sorry, you did say Byron. Sorry. Yes. Yep. So Blues and Roots in Byron Bay at Easter.
At Easter. And I went up there. I was actually 8 weeks pregnant.
Oh God.
And was dancing with Joe Cavalieri.
Oh wow!
Everyone's got a name to drop in this. This is awesome. Was it raining, Jen?
No, it wasn't. No.
Okay. All right. Because it usually is. Isn't it? Easter. Awesome.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jen.
Actually, Blues Fest starts today in Byron Bay, so that's one festival still going. Jack Johnson, Jimmy Barnes, Ben Harper. So that's a pretty good lineup. Starts today, goes over Easter at Byron Bay this time of year.
Nikki's at Gilliston Heights. Nick, what was your first festival?
My first festival was Falls Festival at Byron Bay. It was surely an eye-opener.
Falls Festival.
Yeah, and then I recently flew to the Gold Coast and went to a sellout festival called Juicy Fest. Yeah. It had the old R&Bs from the 2000s.
Yeah, nice. Actually, there were kids at that one too. I know my boy was there, Nikki. So it was a big age range for that, wasn't there?
How good. Daniel's at Maitland going to wrap it up for us, Tanya?
Daniel, first festival.
Hey, Tanya. Hey. So my first festival was called The Rock to Wellington in Wellington, New Zealand in 2008. It was across 2 days and we had Kiss, Ozzy Osbourne, Poison, Whitesnake. It was unreal. I was 19 years old, never been to a gig before, and it just opened my world up. It was cool. And what was really cool is afterwards there was a little bit of an official after party at a club in downtown Wellington, which is not open anymore, and we actually got to see Ozzy Osbourne in the flesh. So it was pretty cool.
Continuing the theme, everybody's got a star-spotting story to tell. Daniel, is it still going?
No, but it did go for, I think 3 or 4 years, but it was kind of at a time where there wasn't a lot of stuff happening in the entertainment sort of business in New Zealand, especially for small town kids like us. Like, we never got anything in the town that we came from. So when this thing was announced, it was like every kid across the whole North Island was just swarming on Wellington, and Wellington didn't know what hit them.
Oh, fun.
So good.
Thank you, Daniel,
for the memories. What was your first festival, Daniel?
I didn't ever go to one.
We never went to one.
Never. So you think about it. I was always working in radio.
Yep.
And
didn't have 3 or 4 days off to go camping in the bush.
Never. And I couldn't. No. I would have been knocked back anyway to take the time.
Yeah.
So, I would report on them and listen to all these people having a great time. But no, I never got to a festival.
No.
You should go to one.
You should, but there's going to be none left.
Got to hurry up.
Yeah, definitely. It's Tanya and Steve. Triple M, Anthony Albanese, our Prime Minister, going to call into the show, and he'll do that next.
Unpredictable weather impacts water supplies. Thanks for making smart water choices. From Hunter Water. On the line,
you'll never know what you'll find. Well, you'll see this on the line today. It's popped already, a little story preempting the fact that our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, is heading to the former coal-fired Liddell Power Station site right here in the Hunter to make an announcement about our nation's solar panel industry. And he's with us now. Good morning, PM.
Good morning. Good to be with you again.
You too. What time will you be there?
I'll be there mid-morning.
Okay.
I'm still in Canberra at this stage, but I'll be flying up to the Upper Hunter and really looking forward to it. Look, this is such an exciting announcement, a $1 billion program, Solar Sunshot, to make sure that we actually make solar panels here. I want a future made in Australia. And there is nothing more important when you look at the fact that one in three Australian households have solar panels. We have the highest uptake in the world, but only 1% of those are made here in Australia, even though we've been responsible for so much of the innovation. And the solar panels that will be made at Liddell will be the most efficient in the world, bar none. And that is why this is such an exciting announcement for employment, for the economy of the Hunter, and indeed for the nation, because a country that makes more things itself is a more resilient country, has more national security, not just a stronger national economy.
When you say they're going to be superior, what will our panels that will be made at Liddell, why will they be superior to what's already out there that people have on their homes now?
They're basically more efficient. What they've done is go through in an innovative way and looked at how much of the sun's rays, essentially, that power, that energy is captured and then transmitted. What these solar panels do that have been developed here in Australia through use of copper and the way that they are structured is to just make them more efficient. And when you have just a couple of percentage increase in efficiency, that represents a massive leap in terms of the energy produced, the savings that are made, the economic benefit, essentially, of each solar panel. And that's why they'll be very attractive in the Australian market. We want Australia to be a renewable energy superpower. We have the best solar resources in the world up in our sky, and we are very good at making things. And there's nowhere that's better than the Hunter region at doing that. And that is why this will be the first and a significant amount of the $1 billion of funds that we've allocated for the National Solar Sunshot Program will go there to Liddell to make sure that it creates jobs for generations of people in the Hunter.
PM, how long between you making this announcement for the investment and when we see those first solar panels roll off and be available commercially?
Look, it will be pretty quick. We're confident about the technology. The solar panels are currently produced at a site in Sydney, but it's largely demonstration, if you like. It's not at scale. You need that at scale to improve the economic output of manufacturing. And so this company had a choice of either staying in Australia with government support or moving offshore.
Uh-huh.
And we want to make sure that solar panels are produced here. We, as I said, have the highest uptake in the world. We know that this is very much a part of the future. And the Solar Sunshot Program, what it will do is provide production subsidies and grants. It will make an enormous difference and make sure that the Hunter continues to be a major player in energy.
So, again, when will we see those first panels? Do you know yet? Or I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just curious. Do you know?
Yeah,
will it be three years, 5 years?
Oh, look, it will be soon. ARENA will work with this. The Renewable Energy Agency will work with the company to make sure this is up and running because we know that the benefits of this will be substantial. So I would expect there to be jobs there during our next term, over the next, which will start, of course, in 2025.
Rightio. You know what? We put up online this morning a little poll with our listeners about, you know, their satisfaction with their solar panels currently. And, you know, you can go into how many kilowatts they've got sitting on their roofs and, you know, a lot of people don't understand that still. And a lot of people actually were coming back to us saying they're not as efficient as they were hoping. They're still paying their bills. Are you, those people that have already got them, are they going to be getting a better product And will they be then left behind if they've already invested so much money in putting what we currently have available to us and we see these new ones rolling off? Will there be a bit of, oh, God, I wish I'd waited?
Well, technology gets better.
Yep.
We know that that's the case, whether it's the phone I'm talking to you on or whether it be other products in our houses. And that's the thing about solar is 20 years ago, solar wasn't the cheapest form yep. of new energy. It is today by a long way. And that's why producing these most efficient solar panels in the world here in Australia will be a good thing.
Okay. Well, look, we look forward to the announcement. Anything for manufacturing in Australia,
yeah, that's good.
Anything for jobs and efficiency and getting those bills down that we so desperately need. The, before I let you go, though, Easter. Are you doing an Easter egg hunt?
Look, I may well I'll be in Canberra over Easter. Parliament's been sitting the last couple of weeks, so I haven't turned my attention to Easter. Okay. I'm up in the Hunter today, and we will also have a couple of announcements today in the Hunter, of which this is, of course, the biggie.
All right. Well, happy Easter, PM. Have a lovely, safe weekend. Enjoy the chockey, and happy to talk to you anytime you got gifts for us. So thanks so much.
Absolutely. Happy Easter to everyone.
Hey, we were just speaking with Albo about the announcement they're going to start manufacturing solar panels in Australia and more importantly, on our doorstep in Liddell.
Yep.
I don't know when.
Couldn't tell you an exact date when these will be on people's roofs.
We tried. He said soon. So, but my point to him was, if you've already got solar panels and you're looking at this announcement and being told that these are going to be new buttes, because technology, he's right in that respect, technology does change. It's like trying to compare the first iPhone to the iPhone 15.
Yep.
It changes. But if you're in the process of getting it on right now, how annoyed would you be?
Yeah, because you're thinking you're getting inferior an inferior product or you can wait till soon and get a different one.
Yeah, you're not getting an inferior product. You're getting the product that is available to us right now.
Which I'm sure is great.
Yeah, but we did put it up on Facebook this morning and, geez, that's a mixed bag, isn't it, Ryze? People not getting what they thought they'd be getting in savings, I mean. Others, yes. But a lot no.
Yep.
We'd love to know what your situation is. Are you happy with your panels? Are you banking money? Are you in credit? Or are you still having to put your hand in your pocket?
We'd love to hear from you. 1-333-53. Yeah, a lot of people online. It's a mixed bag. Like Brendan Summers just said, have installed solar twice now, once in Townsville, once in Madawi, wouldn't do it a third time. I kind of want to know because do you want to know what my electricity bill was yesterday?
Before you tell me, remember, it was 2021, just prior to us all going to the polls, we were told that the federal government was going to lower our power bills.
That's not happening.
I've been playing on average, I'll just tell you mine before you, because yours is obviously going to be a wowzer.
Yeah.
$500 on average every quarter. My last one was $830.
Wow.
Yeah.
So $300, almost double.
And remember, close I was away for a month of that overseas. So that's it's insane money.
So it's gone up.
So what's your story as far as solar is concerned? Give us a ring and tell us.
1-333-53. We'd love to hear if it's worth the investment.
Risey, yours?
Yesterday, we got our power bill for the first quarter of the year.
Yep.
$1,600. The last one would have been about $1,400 or $1,500.
Wow.
The one before that was $1,200. So it's going up.
It's going the wrong direction.
Up and up. And we're kind of being sensible about things.
Brett's at Maitland. What do you think, Brett? How's it working for you?
Yeah, look, it's working okay. I'm an installer and I see that, to be honest with you, a lot of people out there in the market are basically overselling a product that's not going to give the customer what they want.
Uh-huh.
You're seeing just a lot of door-to-door salesmen that are telling people that they're going to get this return or that return. And to be honest with you, a lot of the time they're not. And that's a lot of the issue with the market, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so the industry itself needs a good hard look, doesn't it, Brett? Because there's a lot of fly-by-nighters.
It's not the most trustworthy industry, like you say.
They set up companies and then next minute they're gone.
Yep.
It's really not. And you see quite a lot of it too. And unfortunately, a lot of the companies out there are set up to do nothing but solar, so that if there is an issue, rebates change or, you know, they get caught out by doing the wrong thing, those companies disappear and the customer is basically left without any recourse.
Oh, God.
Yeah, thank you, Brett. So it's worth doing a lot of investigating as well and making sure you do a lot of research.
Louise is at Fletcher. What's your story, Louise?
Yeah, we put them in. I wouldn't have done it again if I had my time over. We put it in and explained that we were going to look at putting in a swim spa, so we wanted to have enough panels to cover, like having something like that installed. We still don't have it installed, and we still got a near $800 bill.
Oh, God. Okay.
Does it take time, though, for those bills to come down?
It does, to feed into the grid, et cetera, et cetera.
We have had one where we had, like, $30 credit. We've had them up now for about 3.5 years, and that's the only one bill that...
You were in credit?
Yeah.
Wow. God. Well, that's not working out for you, is it?
Thank you, Louise.
Tony's at Westwell's End. What's your solar story, Tone?
Hi, Tanya and Steve.
And Mozzie.
Just to let you know, we're renters, but we rented this house thinking, oh, okay, this has got heaps of solar panels, we'll save some power.
Mm-hmm.
We've been with AGL for many years, and it's still costing $300 a month.
A month?
Yeah, that's what our electricity bill is. Yeah, there's only two of us, by the way.
Not a quarter, a month.
No, we pay that per month, $300.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So I've sort of, you know, wondered about, because they say they need cleaning regularly, but they've never been cleaned. And
okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I don't know. And I know a few other people that rent, they've got the same problem, that have said, look, you know, we've got nothing back off ours either.
God.
I mean, you would expect your bill to be a bit lower. But, yeah, I don't know. I think the landlords don't kind of look at having these things sort of looked at or cleaned. But, it's $300 a month, we pay.
Jeez, that's expensive. Yeah. Thanks, Tony. Matthew's a Mayland solar story, Matthew.
Yeah, I got solar installed 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And never had a bill in 5 years.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's
We've got
what we
one
want to hear.
Positive story. And so you're completely happy with the installers, the company you used is still around. All good, Matthew.
Yeah, I am. That's the problem. It's the installers. It's not the product itself. It's not installed properly. I understand it. It's only going to last a little bit, and decay and not work properly, and if it's not monitored properly, a lot of variables go into it. Orientation of the panels, the pitch of the roof, shading. There's so much goes into it, and there's a lot of cowboys in the industry.
Yep. Well, that's where the focus needs to be then, doesn't it? And we'll wrap it up with Stephen. Hello, Stephen. What's your solar story?
Yeah, I've had solar put on twice. I had a small system and really didn't see the benefits. The only benefit I got was the really good solar rebate.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second one, now I've got like 36 panels.
Yep.
And I wasn't getting a bill, but now all of a sudden this quarter I've managed to get a bill, and I clean them regularly. They're good panels. Mm. Did all the research and everything else, but for some reason, and I haven't really done anything different with my electricity usage, but now I've got an electricity bill for like $130 this quarter.
Oh, that's
so strange.
I've never really had one. I've been really good with it. I'm really happy, but for some reason, I don't know whether the market's gone up or what, but I think the government can help out by maybe putting a bit more of the buyback, because 7 cents a kilowatt, but you're paying an exorbitant amount for your usage when you do use power.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good one. Thank you, Stephen.
Have you got it on your don't?
No. I should have. You know what? Wasn't even offered.
Yeah.
And I should have been smarter about putting it on. But now I'm kind of glad I waited.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough one. But you've heard it, that people are believing that it's the installers. You've got to do your research.
Yeah, make sure you're getting what you want.
Yeah, make sure it's going to work for your property.
Yep, definitely. Tenure and Steve, Triple M, 8:24. You win your way to our birthday party next.
Build better at McDonald Jones, with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up louder than